The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity health and wealth part of your new year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, January 6th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all had a good Monday. It was not a victory Monday in the slightest, as they both lost the game, and there was a day really full of debate on whether they blew a chance at the number two seed. So not the way to kick off the playoff week, I don't think. But we did have our first daily pod, which is, or I should say, our first playoff pod. There was a lot of debate amongst me, James, and Tucker about what to call the playoff pods that we're doing every day with James. But we did do day one yesterday. It is in your feed. Talked about all the decisions Eagles have made over the past few days, not getting the three seed, all that fun stuff. So that's in your feed. Jordan Mailata show last night should be in your feed. If not, it'll be in your feed pretty soon. And then again today, 10 a.m., me and James continue our quest for 38 straight days of podding. It's what we did last year when they won the Super Bowl, and would happily do it again if it means getting to experience another Super Bowl run with you guys. So anyway, I hope you had a good Monday. It's Tuesday now. I personally kind of feel it's time to turn the page from the whole debate about the two versus three seed. I'm sure this is something we will talk about again, depending on how the first round of the playoff games go. If they have to go to Chicago, it's going to get brought up. But I will say, like, as good of a topic as it is, and I like the discussion, and I do feel strongly they missed a chance at the two seed, I kind of think it's one of those topics where all the points have been made already. Like, we did it. We did a full day of it. So I enjoyed it. I love the topic. But let's move on and let's talk about this game, or at least start to talk about moving forward with the Niners. Going to have most of the preview stuff in the daily pod, and then obviously we'll preview it with James, but the normal stuff you're used to listening to if you're a loyal daily listener. We'll have preview position by position, all those good things. So let's get into it. But first, let's start with what is on the schedule for today. Well, we're going to get to hear from the coordinators. The coordinators will speak at 11:30. So they're going to have a normal week of stuff. So they'll get back to work. I mean, they're going to be working prior to them, but their first day of the work week will be Wednesday. They'll do the Thursday, Friday. And then, of course, as I'm sure you know by now, they play Sunday at 4:30. Pretty good time. At first, when I heard it, I was like, oh, that's kind of the worst time. But then I pretty much instantly changed my mind. We get to watch the games on Saturday. We'll get a full show of Go Birds on Saturday. We'll get to watch the 1 o'clock game, get to watch the not really watch the 1 o'clock game. At least I won't. You guys will be able to. And I think the other advantage is the Eagles will know who they're playing. Now, they will be at a rest disadvantage, as James pointed out, because the NFC teams play on Saturday. And then, you know, obviously the Eagles play on Sunday. So there'll be a slight rest disadvantage. But I think it's cool going into the game knowing who the Eagles will play. But as a result of it being a normal Sunday game, first of all, the Eagles will play Sunday to Sunday, which I'm sure will make them happy. But we're going to have a normal week of stuff. So it'll feel like a normal week, which is good, I think, going into the postseason. So coordinators at 11:30 today. I'll be on WIP with Spike, Ike, and Fritz from 3 to 4, as I always am on Tuesdays. And then, like I said, daily pod or playoff pod live on Twitter, me, James Seltzer, and of course our good buddy Tucky will be there. So that is what is on your schedule for today. Now, the injury report. And now these injury reports really matter because the Eagles, as we know, prioritize health, and they certainly never need everybody out there. So Nick Sirianni spoke on Monday, and honestly, credit to him, like, in a way that he has won. he wasn't even asked about Lane Johnson. Like, he has successfully won against the reporters, where we don't even ask anymore because he doesn't give us updates. It's not worth burning your question on. So obviously this week it'll be a big story. Will Lane practice on Wednesday? Will he talk on Wednesday? Is he going to play on Sunday? I feel confident that he'll play, but I'm also out of the Lane Johnson prediction game. It was good sign that he was at least out of practice last week, didn't practice, but the fact he was even out there, I think was a good sign. Obviously, it's a playoff game at this point, so I'm sure he will want to be out there, but we'll see. I think with Lane, it should truly be until he says out of his own mouth that he's playing, keep your fingers crossed that he can play. So the Lane Johnson injury will be one we'll be monitoring this week. Coming out of the game, Grant Calcaterra suffered an ankle knee injury. We'll see if he's able to practice. And Brett Toth, like a sneaky kind of big loss if he's not able to dress and play, is in the concussion protocol. So we will see if he's able to practice on Wednesday, what his availability will be for Sunday. But it's a big deal because he's their top backup offensive lineman at multiple spots. And if Lane were not able to play, I know Fred would go in. But outside of that, Toth is a top backup for Cam, for Landon, probably even for Steen if he had to do it. So the Toth injury is a big deal going into this. Now, we don't normally talk about injuries on the other team, but it's playoff time, so we're doing it different now. But two injuries to watch for the San Francisco 49ers this week. Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media on Monday and said Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver, and they don't have great wide receivers, he apparently re-aggravated his PCL injury last week, and he's considered day-to-day. And Trent Williams, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury, also considered day-to-day. Now, it does seem they were close to playing last Saturday. There was some talk that if the game was on Sunday against the Seahawks, they would have played, and that would have mattered. That extra day would have mattered. So you'd think that there's a good chance of playing. But the fact that they're both banged up, they're not 100%. Trent Williams, easily their best offensive lineman. The 49ers offensive line's okay. If he doesn't play, it's a big loss. So the fact he's dealing with a hamstring injury is a big deal. And then Ricky Pearsall, of course, George Kittle and McCaffrey are their top receivers, even though they're not labeled as such. But if you look at strictly their wide receivers, Juwan Jennings is their top guy, and then Ricky Pearsall, and then like that's kind of it. So if he is unable to play or is less than 100% or leaves early, that's a big loss for the 49ers. So throughout the week, we'll find out more. Probably won't have a really good look at who's going to play and who won't until Friday, but we'll update you with any injury news throughout the week. All right, let's get into what Nick Sirianni... Actually, hold up. The book drive. So first of all, got a very generous donation. So thank you to everybody that has made donations so far. We're over $18,000 donated to Treehouse Books, a nonprofit based in North Philadelphia. Thank you guys to everybody that has donated. Honestly, when I started this, like, I didn't know if I'd be able to raise any money. Just I've seen like Spike do awesome job raising money. I've seen other media members do it, but I just always marveled at the amount they're able to raise. And so over the past few years, the fact that we're getting close to, I think, $40,000 in donations truly is mind-blowing. The work that they do at Treehouse Books in terms of getting books into the hands of kids is super, super important. And the fact you guys have supported it the way you do means a lot. So the good news is we got at least a few more days, because once the season ends, the book drive ends, and we'll award the Zach Bond signed football to the winner. But you can also, if you're not going to win the Zach Bond signed football, you can get a sick shirt designed by Dewani Soraya. So thank you to everybody that has already made a donation. Still time, hopefully a few more weeks of donations and we can raise more money. But wanted to make sure I plugged that because, hey, it's playoff time. Hopefully a lot of people are listening. Maybe some new people are listening and we can raise a little more money for Treehouse Books. But like I was saying, Nick Sirianni spoke to the media on Monday and was asked about a bunch of different things. When he's not going to give injury news and he's already talked about the decision to sit the starters and for Devontae to play, like, wasn't really a main topic, I would say, to ask him. So I asked him about Tank Bigsby, because I think Tank Bigsby is an interesting player going into this game. The Niners' run defense is bad. They are not good against the run. Teams run against them all the time. They are near the bottom of the league. I think they're 30th or 26th or something like that in yards per carried allowed on the ground. So you are able to run on the 49ers. Now, the Eagles have not really been able to run on anybody this year. But you know who looked great running the ball this year, and really especially this past Sunday? Tank Bigsby. So I asked Nick what it is about Tank Bigsby that they like as a player, what he brings to the offense, and how he thought he played on Sunday. So here is Nick on Tank Bigsby.
I was wondering, when you rewatched the tape, what stood out to you about the way Tank Bigsby played, and what do you think his specific skill set brings to the offense when he's on the field?
Yeah, he runs hard. He's got extremely good ability to make you miss, while also being able to, you know, put his shoulder down and finish off runs through contact. I thought he did a lot of good things. You saw him on a check down. They got a big gain on a check down, getting him the ball in space there when you're able to go through it and then be able to get the ball to the back. That's a lot of space for him, and he made some guy miss and picked up a big play. So I thought he did a lot of good things, and those are some of the things like that we value about him. He goes, you know, the way he walks through, the way he practices, it really does show up in the game with how hard he runs and how hard he plays.
So throughout the season, when we have talked about how the Eagles can fix the offense, right, there's been a bunch of different solutions. Like, Jalen needs to run it more, which we'll talk about in a minute. Like, don't force the ball to AJ. Throw the ball to AJ more. Run different routes. Like, the offensive line needs to play better. Even a few days of, would it be better with Tanner McKee, right? Like, tons of different solutions. But the reality is, nothing was ever really going to change other than hoping the players just played better. They were never going to bench Jalen. The offense is what the offense is. The offensive line, you just have to hope, plays better. They want to get the ball to AJ. Some weeks they do. Some weeks they don't get it to him. But I do think Tank Bigsby is one actual thing that they could realistically start to put in the offense that might help. Now, to be clear, I think Saquon has gotten better as the year has gone on. I thought he played well against Buffalo, despite the numbers not being there. I thought it was a blocking issue. I didn't think it was a Saquon issue. So I'm not advocating to bench Saquon, but I am advocating that this offense could need a spark, and this offense could need to move the ball. At, like, if on Sunday they're not moving it against San Francisco and it's, you know, 6-3 or whatever, like, they might need to do something, right? And I think giving the ball to Tank Bigsby could be a good way to make a change without making it a major thing. Like, obviously they're not going to bench Jalen, but you know what I mean? Like, that type of thing. Like, do something major. Giving it to Tank Bigsby could be that. So, and I think one reason Tank could help is he's just been flat out better at breaking tackles this year than Saquon has. Now, to defend Saquon, Saquon's carried the ball way more, right? And he's put in less advantageous situations. But anyone with eyes saw this past Sunday that Tank Bigsby has some juice right now and is running at a high level, is making guys miss. I think he had something similar to Saquon, where when he was running, like, he really got the team going. The times this year Saquon's been able to break free, I think it really gets the offense going. And the numbers back up that Tank has been really good this year after contact. So Tank Bigsby this year is averaging 3.87 yards per carry after contact. That is 10th in the NFL among all running backs. Saquon is 87th at 2.71. Now, again, Saquon has carried the ball way more, right? But you look at forced missed tackles. Bigsby is forcing a missed tackle on roughly 25% of his carries this year. He has 18 forced missed tackles. Now, Saquon is 52, but he has 331 attempts, so he's breaking a tackle on average at about 15% of his tackles. So they're going to give the ball to Saquon. I think Saquon should be able to run the ball against the Niners. I do think, like, now that the debate's over and what they shouldn't have done, the fact that the offensive line has had a week off, I think, you know, they'll be fresh. They'll come out good, hopefully, is what the Eagles are hoping. But I think if the offense is stalling and they're not running the ball well, I do think giving Tank the ball could be a chance to, like, get things going, give a spark to the offense if they need it. So I'll be keeping my eye out on the game on Sunday if Tank gets the ball more. He's playing well. I think he deserves more carries, and I think it could be an interesting decision by Nick to do it. Now, a few other things Nick was asked about. So he was asked about Jalen Hurts' playoff experience and just the value of having a quarterback going into the playoffs that has played in the playoffs, right? Like, the Bears, Caleb Williams, hasn't played in the playoffs. Like, if you go to the Panthers, Bryce Young hasn't played in the playoffs. Excuse me, the playoffs. If you go to the AFC, there has been, by the way, I don't think I've yawned on a single pod all year. No big deal to me, but shout out to me for doing it. You guys said I was doing it a lot. I stopped it. All good. But yeah, if you look at the AFC, not a lot of there's quarterbacks there that don't have a ton of playoff experience. Like, Jalen has a ton of playoff experience. This will be his 10th playoff game. He's played in 2 Super Bowls. He's obviously won a Super Bowl. He played in big-time games in college. So Nick was asked about the benefit of having a quarterback with big-game experience, and here is what he had to say.
What's the value of having a quarterback going into the playoffs who's got the experience in the postseason and the success that Jalen has had?
Yeah, I think that big time. You know, obviously Jalen's a great player and has had a lot of big game experience. You know, the amount of big games we play on a yearly basis in our regular seasons, you know, are huge. And then, you know, played, you know, how many playoff games is this now? Eight, nine, somewhere in there.
This will be his 10th.
This will be our 10th. All right. So, you know, that's huge, right? You know, every time he steps out in the field, I feel like Jalen does a great job of, you know, continuing to raise his level of play. And so, yeah, he has a ton of experience. And the quarterback we're playing has a lot of experience, too, in the playoffs. A lot of respect to them. And so, yeah, I think that's valuable. You know, I think when we first started, I think back in 22, you guys kind of asked me something in the sense of like, well, none of you guys have played in like the big games. And I think what I said was, well, a lot of these guys have played in big college games and national championships. Now they've still played on big college games, national championships, and also the biggest stages in the National Football League as well. So I think that serves good for our team. And I think most definitely.
So it's definitely a benefit, like for sure. Jalen is not fazed by big stages. And a lot of players on the Eagles aren't because they played at big-time college programs and they played in big-time college games. The Georgia guys, the Alabama guys, you know, Saquon, even though Penn State didn't play in a ton of big games. But you get what I'm saying. But I think one thing worth noting with this matchup is Brock Purdy has also played in a decent amount of games. I think he's played in 4 playoff games. He's played in a Super Bowl. He's won an NFC championship game. Now, he went to a smaller school. He certainly has not played in as many big games as Jalen, but I don't think the crowd will impact Brock Purdy. He's played the championship game here before, or at least, you know, was in it. He didn't end up playing a ton, unfortunately. But I think that's one thing where Jalen has more playoff experience, and I trust Jalen more heading into this game. But when they play Caleb Williams, if that happens, one thing I think Jalen will have on him is, like, he's been in these huge games. Like, Caleb Williams hasn't played in a ton of huge games. And Brock Purdy has as well. So that is one area where they don't have an advantage over the 49ers. Speaking of Jalen, said we were going to talk about it. We've talked about it. Feels like maybe once a week the whole season. Should Jalen Hurts run the ball more? So Nick was asked. The season is over now, and there was never an uptick in Jalen carrying the ball. There was maybe one or two games, but there was never a consistent uptick or a consistent presence of him carrying the ball. So Nick was asked about Jalen running it more in the playoffs and whether that could happen. And here is what Nick had to say.
Hey, Nick, I guess at this point, we know that Jalen hasn't been as much a part of the run game all season, but you also got him through the year without getting hurt or missing any time. Yeah, I guess my question to you is, do you think that in some ways affected the run game and how you guys weren't as successful on the ground this year? And then the follow-up to that would be, is that something that just is the offense at this point, or can you turn that switch on, or does it even make sense to do it at this point in the postseason?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see as we continue to game plan for this team. Obviously, we'll see, you know, the direction we go in with some of those things. You know, Jalen is ability to run, pass, get us in and out of plays, right? I think he can do a lot of things really, really well. Outstanding. And, you know, some of those runs that he has, that we have done has come off scrambles. Some of them have come off of, designed runs. And again, like I said, each week calls for something different, you know, based off of what you're seeing, based off of what you do. And we'll go through our process like we always do and find out the best way we want to attack this particular week, against a really good, group of players over there and great coaches. I have so much respect for this team that is coming in here on Sunday. You know, just can't tell you how much respect I have for the players over there and the coaches over there led by Kyle.
So maybe I'm being naive, and it's certainly possible, but I do think Jalen is going to run the ball more in the playoffs. The offensive linemen talk so much about how much it helps, and we know this team really values health. We just saw it in one of the biggest ways on Sunday. And there's no doubt Jalen has run the ball less this year. If you look at his career, in his first 4 years, he averaged almost 10 rushing attempts a game. Now, that includes tush pushes, kneels, and that type of stuff, but 10 rushes a game. This year, he's at 105 attempts, so he's averaging just around 6.5 carries per game. Obviously, a pretty dramatic drop-off, and that also includes like tush pushes and kneel downs and all that stuff. So he's definitely running the ball way less. I do think in the playoffs he will run it more. And I think it'll be designed runs. Like, I think they will lean on that because they know it works. And now that they're here and they're in the playoffs and they've successfully gotten Jalen to the playoffs healthy, I think they're going to do it more. So maybe I'm being naive. Maybe they won't do it. But I actually do think we're going to see Jalen run the ball more in the playoffs this year. All right. So one more quote before we get into the second half of the pod, where I got a bunch of different stats for you guys. I hope you'll find interesting. This quote, like, okay. I know I said we weren't going to talk about the resting guys thing, the resting the guys thing anymore, but this quote was maybe the best case I have heard as to why they were correct to rest the guys against Washington for and not get the number two seed. So Ben Johnson, head coach of the Bears, who lost to the Lions, opening the door for the Eagles to get the two seed, was asked about why he didn't rest the players in the game like some other teams did, obviously including the Eagles. And here's what Ben Johnson had to say.
One day I appreciate, like I said, their effort. You know, some teams, they rest their starters. We don't. We play football.
So look, I was wrong about Ben Johnson. He's a good head coach. He obviously is, right? I thought like the thing he said early in the year when he was talking about the tush push and he said, we don't do the tush push. We believe in big plays. Like I thought that was a dumb quote, right? But he's obviously done a good job. This quote here is maybe the best example or the best case of why the Eagles were correct to do what they do. Like, I thought it was a mistake, but you can't ever accuse Eagles of not being a smart organization in terms of thinking things through the right way. Like, I think they made the wrong decision, but I do believe that when they made the decision, they looked at all the options, had all the correct information, and thought about it in a smart way. I think they ended up on the wrong conclusion. Like, I would have got the two seed, but regardless, I think they do things the right way. I would hope if there's any Bears fans listening to this for whatever reason, that they're not making decisions like this. Cause that just sounds like a bad way to run an organization with Ben Johnson. Like, we play football. Like, all right, man, then play your guys in the preseason. If you're 15-0, or if you know 15-1 next year and you're four games up on the division and in the conference and have nothing to play for and have clinched the one seed, we'll see if you put your guys in then. Like, it just, to me, it's like fake toughness just to sound like you're a tough football guy. And look, maybe he'll back it up throughout his career, but I thought this quote was, I would rather put it this way. I'd rather have a team ran the way the Eagles do, where I don't agree with the decision, but at least I understand it, as opposed to a team that might actually be making decisions based off of, like, we're a football team, we play football. So I thought that was an annoying quote. And I will say, if they play the Eagles, this is a quote you're going to hear throughout the week, and certainly if the Eagles win. So just wanted to share that with you guys. All right. On the other side, I found a new Twitter account that I'm obsessed with that has all types of cool information. We're going to talk about it and how it relates to the Eagles and the 49ers. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so if you've listened to this pod for the past few years, you know I love a good stat, right? I love numbers. I love like using numbers to make a point. Ironically, I'm terrible at math. I was really bad at math in high school. I got a little better at it in college in the way that I only took one course, and I'm pretty sure I passed it if I remember correctly. But I've just never been good at math. But I'm someone that loves numbers, loves stats. I mean, I have 5 years of spreadsheets of training camp stats, if not more, actually. So I love a good stat. And so when I find an account that has good stats and interesting stats, I instantly fall in love, and it basically overtakes my timeline because it's all Twitter feeds me. So I found an account, and ironically, didn't realize this until I started doing this. Ironically, it's a San Francisco 49ers stat account. So this account, SF Data Niners, they do stats like for the Niners, but as a result, they have stats for teams all over the league. And so it'll be things like throwing short on third down. Like, where do the Niners rank among teams that throw short of the sticks on third down? Pre-snap penalties, offensive snaps while leading, right? Like, just interesting stuff that you don't really see elsewhere. At least I don't see elsewhere. So I actually found it a few weeks ago. I've been waiting to do it. There just keeps being stuff on the pod that I want to get to instead. But ironically now, with them playing the Niners, let's talk about some of the stats I have seen on that. And it actually works out well because it's a good way to look at the 49ers as well. So there are five stats I want to talk about that I found on this Twitter account that relate to the Niners, the Eagles, and just give some thoughts on them overall. So first of all, the first one is throwing short of the sticks. And this is one that will certainly, you know, poke close to the Eagles' heart, Eagles fans' heart here. In the way that all year we've talked about the route concepts, or at least a lot of other people have talked about them and complained about them, like hitch routes, throwing short of the sticks, that type of thing. So the Eagles throw short of the sticks. So if it's third and 10, they'll throw it 8 yards, for example. They throw short of the sticks 48% of the time. That is 27th in the NFL. 27th. The 49ers, they're fifth at 28%. So the Niners almost always throw it past the first down marker. The Eagles, almost half of the time, throw it short of the first down marker. So for some context, the Packers are number one in the NFL. They throw it short of the sticks only 21% of the time. The Bills are the worst team in the NFL at it at 32% of the time. I'm sorry, 66% of the time, they are 32nd at it. So the Eagles at 48% of the time are throwing short of the first down marker. The Niners, 28% of the time. So that's something to look for this week. Like, the Eagles are going to need to break tackles, right? We've seen that. We just talked about with Tank Bigsby. If you're throwing short of the sticks, you're going to have to break tackles afterwards. The Niners don't do that. Like, they throw it past the sticks where if it's completed, it's a first down. So I thought that was interesting. Another thing, and as James said, it's the official point of the Go Birds pod this week. Penalties, penalties, penalties. The Niners are second in the NFL with the fewest penalties this year. The Eagles, they were near the bottom of the league all year. They still are. I think they're maybe 25th or 26th now. But they are among the most penalized teams in the NFL. So this one relates to specifically pre-snap penalties since week 11. So this is pre-snap penalties since week 11. And the Eagles have said a few times at the podium that they think they're getting better at this. So since week 11, the Eagles are 22nd with 18 pre-snap penalties. 22nd with 18 pre-snap penalties. The Niners have only 6 pre-snap penalties. So the Eagles have 3 times as many pre-snap penalties since week 11. The Niners have the fewest. They're number one with the fewest pre-snap penalties. So the Niners do not get penalized. It's just not something they do. Obviously, one game, anything can happen. But the Eagles are likely going to get more penalties than the Niners on Sunday, and they're going to have to make up for that in other ways. So, in just some context, like, the Eagles have 18. The Titans are dead last with 25. So the Eagles are closer to dead last with the Titans than they are the Niners at number one. So the penalties remain an issue. All right, so I thought this one was interesting as well. Actual wins versus expected wins. Now, obviously, this stat is a little more subjective, right? But however they calculate it, the Eagles have 11 wins. Now, I will clarify that this one was prior to the past game, right? So this does not include week 18. The Eagles have 11 wins, but according to this metric, the Eagles should only have 8 wins. So they've overperformed by 3 wins. That is the most in the NFL in terms of having more wins than you should. They're the top overperforming team in the NFL. Now, the good news is the Niners are pretty close. The Niners are 6th, and they have arguably 2 more wins than they should. Excuse me. The Bears are 3rd. They have just over 2.5 more wins. Obviously, you can't have 2.5 more wins, but you get my point. And the Rams are 31st. The Rams have lost more games than they should have. The Rams have 3 fewer wins than this metric thinks they should. Now, you could look at this two ways. You could look at it and go, the Eagles are good at winning, right? Even when they don't play well, they find ways to win games. You could also look at it and go, the Rams have played better than the Eagles this year, and the win-loss record doesn't show it. And when these two teams play, the Rams might play better. But what I think it ultimately probably shows is the Rams find ways to lose games and the Eagles find ways to win games. And if it was only 6 or 7 games, like, I would say it's not, you know, like, that's probably like a green goggled way to look at it. But over 4 or 5 years, Eagles have consistently won more than the Rams. They've won the Super Bowl. So I do think it is fair to say the Eagles know how to win games. And for what it's worth, the Rams, like, they win a lot of games too, but they've also lost to the Eagles every time they've played them. So just thought that was interesting. This one also super interesting. And I think it's actually pretty surprising. Like, obviously I've watched every game multiple times this year. I'm at every game. We talk about them every day. The Eagles are 6th in the NFL in terms of playing time or snaps with the lead. They have played 462 snaps this year with the lead. It's just interesting because I don't think of them as dominating teams all year. I don't think of them as being up big in a lot of games. But only 5 teams have played with the lead more than the Eagles. One of those teams is the Rams. The Rams, 471 snaps. And the Niners are right behind the Eagles, ironically, 1 snap. So, again, week 18, like, a little different. But 461. So the Eagles have actually played with a lead quite a bit. And this was another stat that surprised me. And maybe this is why they've had the lead so much. I'm sure it's a big part of it. Points scored on opening drives through week 17. The Eagles and Niners are both tied at 4th most in the NFL with 52 opening drive points scored on opening drives. So this year the Eagles have scored 52 points on their opening drives. That's pretty good. That's definitely way better than I thought, and it's almost the best in the league. They're tied for 4th. Now, if you want to tie this all together, right, the Eagles need to get a lead against the Niners. A, the Eagles are used to playing with a lead. The Niners are not used to playing from behind. B, the Niners are not good at mounting comebacks. Under Kyle Shanahan, they are 1-38 when they trail by 7 points entering the fourth quarter. And I also think the Eagles, despite the fact that they've not run it well this year, the Niners are not good at stopping the run. If the Eagles can get a lead, get the fans behind them, right? Like, kind of like the Nick Castellanos quote, the fans can be either like the wind in the sail or they can bring it back. If the Eagles can get the crowd behind them, they can get a lead, they can run the ball, and then go in the fourth quarter with a lead, they'll win the game. But if it starts slow, you know, they get a penalty that kills a drive, like those type of things, it could be a really ugly 3 hours at the link on Sunday. So getting a lead going to be absolutely crucial. All right. So those were some of the stats I thought were interesting. As I said, we got a daily pod or a playoff pod today at 10 a.m. with James and all types of good stuff for you guys throughout the week. So go out, enjoy your day. We're getting closer to the playoff game, kind of. Let's enjoy it while it's happening, right? Until then, he is Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.